Good morning, everyone. We're calling to order this Wednesday, July 26, 2017 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Gino Salcedo, who's at the controls of the hearing today. I'd like to begin with a few general items. First, order presentation. The applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak, and the applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes of rebuttal if there's any public comment in opposition to the case. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, indicate an inclination to grant with conditions, or deny the hearing, or continue it to a later date. Items on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step forward. There is one item on the consent calendar today, but we will be continuing that because additional review is required. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance, section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet on the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. This is very important because it is the decision letter which is the appealable document, and the decision may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter. Other items, while we do encourage parties to have discussions, we request that those conversations be done outside so as to avoid being disruptive to others during the hearing. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, August 23rd, next month. And audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website, the Planning Department's website, as a link on the hearing agenda. Now we can move to the agenda. We do have a couple of housekeeping items. As I mentioned, the one item that's on the consent calendar, item number one for 1901 Oakdale Avenue, is to be continued to August 23rd. Additionally, on case, it's item number six for 1530 48th Avenue. A discretionary review request has been filed on that. As such, we will continue it to August 23rd. And either that discretionary review will be resolved or we will have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission. And I know you would like to speak on that. Let me see if we have any other housekeeping items. I think that's the only items we have for continuance. And Mr. Paul, would you like to speak on the continuance for that item?
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. Jeremy Paul, on behalf of the project sponsor and as the applicant. The neighbor who requested the discretionary review is particularly upset about the amount of time this project has taken in the semi-constructed state that it's in. It's become difficult. The flapping of tarps and an incomplete project. He's very interested in seeing this process move forwards, and very upset that we have allowed it to take as much time as we have, and has sent an email to the planner indicating his interest in withdrawing that discretionary review if it keeps this from having causing a further delay in this process.
And the 311, the kind of revised 311, at this point still expires on August 16th, correct?
That's correct.
So if we have a hearing on August 23rd, it won't be any significant delay, and we'll see if there's any other discretionary reviews that would like to be filed.
This is the second 311 notice that has gone out. Was found that the initial one may have been deficient, as one apartment building across the street had a very difficult addressing plan. So I think that it's known to any party in the neighborhood. There's been no paucity of notice. There's one neighbor who's expressed interest in opposing the project, who has been expressed interest and then withdrawn it, and then expressed interest and withdrawn it. He has various reasons for what he's doing that don't necessarily pertain to changing the project that we're putting forward. The last week of August, as much of the city will be, is kind of closed down for business. I personally won't be in town, and I think that it would be best for both the neighbor who's requested the discretionary review, for the project sponsor, and it wouldn't interfere with this one neighbor down the block who may end up filing a request for DR, for us to proceed with the variance hearing today, and hold action until the resolution of the DR notice.
Well, the standard practice, as you know, is when a DR is filed, we will continue the variance if there's a variance pending. The DR has not yet been withdrawn. They've indicated their intent to withdraw it. Is that what I've heard? 'Cause in speaking with staff yesterday at about 4:30, the DR had not yet been withdrawn.
The way I read the email that he sent to the planner was intent to withdraw.
Okay.
That if this is going to cause a delay in this hearing, I withdraw this.
On the August 23rd hearing, you said you would not be available. Will the project sponsor or the architect be available?
Yes.
Then I think we can move forward with the continuance to that date. I don't think it'll substantially delay the project, given that the 311, nothing can be approved or finalized before the 311 is completed, which is on August 16th, and the hearing will be on the 23rd. So I understand this is to legalize work, and there's maybe it's been in kind of a half-constructed state, but I think that a few days delay at the end of August is not going to be a substantial disruption.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other public comment? We have a continuance of item number one and item number six to August 23rd. Seeing none, we continue both items one and six to our August 23rd hearing, and we can move on to the regular calendar. Sure, do you have a question? If you can, it's to the mic so we can, what's your question? Yes.
Excuse me, my name is Gretchen Kay. I live on Union Street, and my neighbors are getting ready to do a project, and there was a notice of public hearing on their garage door, and it said it was today. It's case number 2015-012558. And I just didn't see it in the agenda.
What's the property address?
The property address is 2832 Union Street.
Let's see. Do you have the notice with you?
I have a picture of the notice that was on their garage.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, and apologies for the confusion. So the 2832 Union Street has been continued. I think that there was maybe an incomplete notification. I don't know if the mailing had gone out or, but it seems certainly the poster was up, which did have this date. The item will be heard next month. That has been continued. And yes, apologies for that. And I would encourage, if you do have any concerns about the project, to reach out to the project sponsor and maybe can have even that conversation now too, if that would be possible. So it's not a wasted trip down here. Sorry for that. So let's move on to the regular calendar.
All right, and moving on to regular, under the regular calendar, item two for case number 2016-011752 VAR at 139 Pfeiffer Street, rear yard variance sought. And a project sponsor, when you're ready, you may approach the mic for your 5-minute presentation.
Yeah, hi, my name is David Kotzebue, and I'm the architect for the project. So this variance is requested for the height for the last 10 feet of the structure. This is a very shallow lot. Pfeiffer Street is a narrow street that's between Chestnut and the other street down. I can't remember the name of it. I guess it's Bay. These lots on Pfeiffer are actually quite shallow, and this particular lot is 52.5 feet deep. So the strict rear yard setback requirement would make building on it virtually impossible. So what we've done is we're adding a third floor, and we've set it back from the street frontage 15 feet, so it's not noticeable from the street. You literally won't be able to see it from the street. And the last portion of it exceeds the height for the rear yard, the last 10 feet, by a little amount. There's a section drawing. I don't know if you have that in front of you, if you'll be able to see it, where essentially the bath and the closet in the rear of this proposal are at the 40-foot height where 30 feet is required, but it's only the top, maybe half portion that requires the variance. Other buildings on the street have structures this tall, enjoy third floors, so this isn't unusual in terms of the existing fabric and the scale of the buildings on the site. Also, the conforming portion, as I said, the conforming portion of the proposal is in the front, which is not noticeable from the street, and from the properties to the rear, which are upslope. It would be the leading edge of the conforming portion that would establish the sight lines. So the portion that we're asking the variance has virtually no effect on those properties. Also, in the benefit to this addition, not only to the property owner and the unit, is that it provides outdoor living space for both units in the building. Currently, there are two units, so we're not adding any impact to the street in terms of adding a unit. We are enlarging a unit, but we're also adding outdoor living space for this particular unit and the unit below. So I think that's a benefit. So we feel that I have the findings or the response to the findings written. I'm sure it's part of the application.
Yes, we have that.
And so I think that these findings can be made, and therefore we ask that you grant this variance.
Thank
and
you.
I have the affidavit here too.
Thank you. It's my understanding the Section 311 notification expired at the end of last month. There were no
discussion. Yeah, we didn't get any requests. Yeah.
And there, I think we had received one comment with concern from a neighbor to the rear about privacy issues. You're showing that what's being located towards the rear of that new level is a master bathroom, and you have the only glazing really is on a door and then on a portion by the stairs, and you have that the portion that is the door and the master bath is showing as being frosted. And
yeah, well, because originally, before we had the neighborhood meeting, we had it clear, and
yeah.
So that was our the owner still wanted the natural light, so we made it an obscure glass.
And I would think for the privacy of the
right.
owner
yeah.
as well, that
correct.
Would be
correct.
Beneficial. But I see that it's I think, you know, appropriate part of the project. I wouldn't condition it as such. I mean, I think if there had been another use back there, I think glazing, clear glazing could be appropriate. So I won't require it as a condition of approval, but I will note that the plans do show that you have the frosted glass, and that was in part to address the privacy concerns, I would say, of both parties.
Right.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number two for 139 Pfeiffer Street. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I would close public hearing and inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the kind of substandard lot size, and also that it's completed the Section 311 notification process. No DRs were filed.
All right, so moving on to the next calendar item, number three, for case number 2013.0846 VAR at 146 and 148 Jasper Place, seeking a rear yard variance.
Hello, my name is David Sincotta. I'm here on behalf of the project sponsor, Peter Wilson. You have the file, so I will try not to be repetitive, but there are some unique, exceptional, and extraordinary circumstances for this property, not unlike other parts of North Beach and Telegraph Hill District. This is in a historic district. The alley that it is on is 17 feet wide. The lot is actually 60 feet deep and 20 feet wide. So it's created some issues. The two lots, one has a structure on it, one does not. As a result of being in the historic district and because of the features of it, there is a setback required on the additional top floor of 12 feet, and trying to recover some of the potential square footage and reconfigure the livable space inside, we're trying to recapture some of that with the rear yard variance. I want to point out that I'm just put up the, this is what the rear of the existing building looks like now. It's actually going to be removed from this portion all the way back totally and then reconstructed so that in actuality there'll be less structure in the rear yard than there currently exists, but it still will be in violation of the planning code without a variance. So I want to point out there's also no harm, if you take a look at the site plan in the file, is no harm to the mid-block open space because there's virtually no mid-block open space on this block because of all the additional buildings are built to the rear property line. And even the buildings that are immediately behind this property are closer to the rear property line than this building. So I think that we don't have much additional to add. The the only big point is there are no negative impacts. The design and the environmental review has been done and been pointed out that this is not considered any kind of negative impact on the historic resource or on the historic district. So I think it's already shown to be unique, exceptional, and extraordinary because of the size of the lot, because of the size of the alley, and because of the configuration of the building surrounding it. And as I said, there's no rear yards anywhere, and we are actually creating more of a rear yard and open space in the rear than is this. Any questions?
Yes, thank you. So we have received at least two comments in opposition to the project from adjacent neighbors. One to the rear with concerns about privacy. They have a very small lot fronting on Cadell, or accessed by Cadell, and they are at the rear property line. And so this is very close quarters.
Yes.
So they do have those concerns raised, and they may be here to speak to those as well. That we also did get comments from another adjacent neighbor with concerns about impact on the character of the block, concerns about gentrification. I mean, I think you've addressed, you know, through the submittals that it's completed the environmental review, those kind of design considerations and the preservation considerations have been addressed and incorporated into the design of the project. I think those are not kind of my primary concerns, but I would like to see if there's any public comment about the privacy issues and There is a very large roof deck as well that goes to the rear of the proposed building. I'd like to see maybe what have further discussion about how we may be able to lessen the impact on the mid-block open space, which I agree there's the pattern is disrupted given the adjacent buildings and other buildings where there is a rear yard, it's about 15 feet. And so I think that, you know, it's in line with the district, but seeing if there are maybe some creative solutions to addressing in some way the some of the privacy concerns. But we'll go to that public comment, unless if you have anything kind of immediately to respond to. I don't know if you're aware of those concerns.
I am aware that there has been meetings with the rear property owners to try and accommodate some of their concerns. One of them, the building has been sold recently, so we don't know. We haven't met with the new owner yet, but we are prepared to deal with kinds of privacy issues for screening or as necessary from the roof deck as well as from the rear windows.
And then, do you know the status of the 311? It looks like it had not yet started.
It has not yet started.
And do you know what the estimate is to have that started?
It's probably going to go out in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, item number 3 for 146 to 148 Jasper Place? Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. I would take the matter under advisement at this point. Would like to have the project sponsor continue discussions with the property owner to the rear. I do have concerns about the extent of the deck and going all the way to the rear building wall as proposed, but we'll take that under consideration. Also, do have some concerns that the Section 311 neighborhood notification has not yet been completed, and should that be performed and a DR is filed, I think it would be beneficial to have a joint hearing before the Planning Commission to have both the DR and the variance be considered so we can have a full consideration of the project. So at this point, we'll take the matter under advisement. Like the sponsor to continue working with the adjacent property owner and would hold any final decision until the Section 311 neighborhood notification has been completed. So we wouldn't issue that decision letter till the neighborhood notice has been completed. And we can move on to the next item.
All right, next item, number 4, for case number 2016-016667VAR. At 839 Leavenworth Street, with an exposure variance sought.
Hello. This project seeks to add two accessory dwelling units to the back of an existing apartment building on Leavenworth Street in Lower Nob Hill. The two units would be facing a rear yard that is 9'5" by 63.3, so it's the full width of the lot. The exposure for these units mimics the exposure of all the existing units on the upper floors. Adding additional space to the rear yard is obviously infeasible because it's an existing building. We think that the quality of light and air is acceptable. We know it doesn't meet the 15 by 15 minimum for ADUs, but it's a fairly well-lit space. One of their buildings behind it is set back from the property line. I've brought two photos. So that shows kind of the extent of the rear yard looking north. The windows on the upper floors are actually closer to the property line. We don't have the bays on the ground floor, so the new units are set back a little bit from where the upstairs units are. And then this shows the view looking south from the other end of the rear yard. The building behind it has a mid-block courtyard. So effectively, the view out from the units includes some of that courtyard. And then this last photo, that's the view from near the existing door in the center of the rear of the building. Looking out, there's a tree on the property line. Additionally, both units have light wells on the opposite side of the unit. We think that while it doesn't meet the letter of the reduced exposure requirement, it meets the intent. The rear yard in square footage is much larger than the 15 by 15 foot minimum, even if it is smaller in one direction. And for that reason, we're asking for a variance for both of these units.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate that the exposure, it faces onto the same area as the upper units, but we're not talking about one of those existing units. We're talking about creating something below grade where the sill of the window will be pretty much level with the grade at the backyard.
Partially, but we are creating a light well down to floor level. Yeah. To improve that exposure for the new windows.
Yeah, I think I've been reviewing these ADUs since the program has been created, and I've, I think ultimately approved pretty much all of those that have come before us. Most don't require a variance. Most are, meet that 15 by 15. Sometimes they do require a variance, and we've had those, and they can be challenging because we've already reduced the requirement for ADUs and then seeking further reduction. So I do have concerns, and I'm not supportive of the design as it is currently proposed. I think you were kind of on the right track with doing the additional excavation to create that light well. Would like to see if it's feasible to expand that. I don't know what situation you're going to get in, given that you have that building abutting to the rear, and how they may complicate things. But I'm not supportive of the application as it is. I can take it under advisement. We'll see if there's any public comment first, but I could take it under advisement, and we can see if there's some additional changes that could be made to increase the
one. So if we were to excavate more of the rear yard, it's probably not feasible to excavate right against the neighbor's building for technical reasons.
Yeah,
if we proposed like a tiered approach where it starts level and steps up with landscaping or something similar to that, would
be preferable.
Okay.
So I'll first see if there's any public comment on this item, and then we can take action. So is there any public comment on item number 4 for 839 Leavenworth Street? Seeing none, I could throw it back to you, but I think I can take the matter under advisement, come back with something to staff. We don't need to have another hearing on this, but come back to staff with an alternative that would have more of a tiered landscaped area that would be a different, I think a more improved quality of exposure for those units that are going to be created below grade.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. And we'll review that and make a decision based upon that. So this public hearing is closed. Taking matter under advisement, request that the project sponsor look at alternatives to increase the size of the currently proposed light well. We can move on to the next item for you. And we'll read that into the record first.
So the...
Do you have a question on the last case? Or?
Just to clarify, we only have to submit that to staff. It's not coming back to a hearing.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we can move on to item number 5. We'll read that into the record.
All right. So we're moving on to item number 5 for case number 2017-000777 VAR at 891 Post Street, seeking an exposure variance. And project sponsor, when you're ready, 5-minute presentation.
Sure. So this is a similar exposure variance for two ADUs at the ground floor of a building at the corner of Post and Hyde in Lower Nob Hill. One unit faces a side yard and the other unit faces the rear yard. Unlike the last building, both of these units are at grade. So it's a steeply sloping lot where the entrance on Post Street is one level above, but both of these units are at the same level as the rear and the side yard. Similar to the last one, the units in the existing building above have the similar exposure condition. In this case, the windows are not below grade at all. They're at standard sill height, and the same size as the windows in the units above. We are proposing, the rear yard is 9'1" by 43 in the back. The side yard is 12'7" by 8'10", and then there's a 5-foot setback on the other side of the property line to the adjacent building on Post Street. I brought photos of the rear yard here. That first image is looking to the west, and that's the building across the street on Hyde Street that you see in the background. There's a passageway out to the street on Hyde. And then this photo is looking to the east. There's a tree in the corner of the property, and then the rear yard of the adjacent building on Hyde Street is behind Unit B. Sorry, this is coming out too dark. That's the view from Unit B into the tree in the rear yard of the unit behind it. And then the unit at the side has a light well condition, kind of typical of a lot of the buildings in this neighborhood. There's a stack of units above it. This is almost 8'10" from the property line. And this is looking to the east. Obviously, again, we can't change the size of the yards here. They're all existing buildings. And we ask for a variance for both of the units to add these ADUs.
Thank you. And then for the unit that faces onto the light well, I guess in both cases it's similar. You said the units above have similar exposure to what you're proposing here. It's just that this is at the ground level.
Yes.
I think I have concerns again. You know, now we are getting lower in the building. There are the buildings that are adjacent are pretty substantial in height. In the photos and what you'd shown, can you go back to the one with the trash cans?
Yeah.
So how many cans are there? It looks like about 7.
Yeah, and we would be proposing a new trash room that would not be in the rear yard, that would be inside the building.
And the trash room only has, it's fairly compact and it's showing only 4 cans in there, but
we would be open to enlarging that. We think that some of the retail tenants are using that area, that at the time we did the drawings, they were not using that area. So we kind of need to clarify which trash cans are supposed to be in which part of the building. There's a number of retail tenants on the Hyde Street side.
And then the window openings that we see on the right, those two openings, those are the openings that would be for the proposed unit.
Yeah, you can see them better in this image also. Okay. They're on the left there.
Okay. All right. Let me see if there's any public comment on this item number 5 for 891 Post Street. Any public comment? Seeing none. I have the same concerns as with the other. That light well is very tight, and I know that, there are units in some cases, it looks like on some of the floors, there's 2 units that mm-hmm. face onto that area, but they are higher up at, the second level. Say there is one at the first level, but they are at higher levels where there's just going to be more light. They're not at the bottom of a pit. My main concern with the unit that faces onto the side yard is the fact that they would just be facing onto trash cans after trash can after trash can. And so I think if I don't know about getting to the point where the one that faces onto the light well will be something we can support, but maybe that space could be used for an enlarged trash room that would allow for trash to not be stored in that court for that unit that faces onto that. So I'll take the matter under advisement, see if we can look at some alternatives that would improve the quality of the proposed Unit B, which faces onto the outer court, which currently has a number of trash cans. And if we can kind of have that area maybe cleared, landscaped in some way, that would make it more enjoyable as outdoor space. Because I know we're, you know, again, I really value the ADU program. We've been able to add a tremendous number of units to the city because of this program. But I do think we have to strive to ensure that these are quality units as well, to the extent possible. So I think we look at some alternatives here that will improve the quality of this unit.
Okay, so the main issue is getting the trash cans out of that area.
Yeah, okay. Getting it, having that cleared, having it, you know, improved in some way. It could be landscaped, and I don't see support for that unit A, for the one that just faces the light well. But then that's additional, you know, space that could potentially be used for storage of those trash cans to clear out that area entirely. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And then we can move on to the next item.
All right, so moving on to the next item, item number 6 for case number 2015-016598 VAR at 1530 48th Avenue, seeking a rear yard variance.
Oh, sorry, this one has been continued, yeah.
Yes, scheduled to be continued to August 23rd. So moving on to the next item.
And actually, I think, Gina, we're going to call items number 7 and 8 together. They're adjacent properties, but same project sponsor.
Correct.
And very similar design. So if the project sponsor is acceptable to having these two items combined, thank you.
Oh, correct. So items number 7 and 8 will be heard together. So 7 is case number 2016-015477 VAR at 3190 San Bruno Avenue. And item 8 is case number 2016-015539 VAR at 3180 San Bruno Avenue, both seeking exposure variances. So these will be heard together. So project sponsor, when you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready. Good morning. My name is Serena Calhoun. I'm the project architect for the two projects located adjacent to each other at 3180 and 3190 San Bruno Avenue. The reason we're here today is we have kind of a unique condition. I've seen a handful of buildings like this scattered around the city. The two properties, although separate and with a parcel line directly down the middle of the two properties, were built together and built as a mirror image of each other and share certain amenities, including the sort of central courtyard and also the shared central driveway between the properties. Here you can see just a corner street view of the two properties that sort of shows the context. You can see on the left side is 3190 San Bruno Avenue, and on the right side, a little bit more in block, is 3180 San Bruno Avenue. I want to just highlight one of the unique conditions of the site, which is that there's a dramatic slope for both sites on the side. So here I kind of just, you know, drew a little red line that sort of shows coming up from the corner to the back of the property, there's a rise of over 8 feet. It's about 8.5 feet rise from the front of the property to the rear that occurs on both sides of the property. So at, in the case of 3180, it's also at the side yard on the sort of far right side of this image. In doing so, basically, you're kind of coming up to the full second story towards the back of the lot, which makes adding windows in our area of work fronting onto the street or onto a side yard or even into the rear yard virtually impossible by nature of the significant steepness of the grade. This is a quick front view to kind of show that's the shared driveway entrance down the middle and the properties on each side. And then I know for the benefit of the review, we had to provide two separate permit applications, so it's sort of unclear between the two properties how they interact. So for the purposes of today's presentation, what I did is put the two plans side by side so that you can really effectively see. There is a very wide open courtyard between the two properties. It's 23.5 feet, which almost meets the strict code requirement, not the reduced code requirement of 15 feet for exposure. And then you can see at the very rear, there are two stairs that go up to the rear yard. So the rear yard is effectively a raised elevated platform at the level of the second floor. And then on the far right side, you can see even the side yard of 3180 San Bruno Avenue. When you've come in the gate, there's stairs directly up. So that entire side is raised up effectively to the story of the second floor, also not permitting very large windows along that side, limiting some of our unit configurations. The project scope, obviously, is to install new ADU units under the soft story program. And so in the case of 3190 San Bruno Avenue, there are two units in the back that front onto this central courtyard, and also at 3180, there are two units that front onto the central courtyard. And the project includes two additional units that front out onto the public right-of-way that do not require an exposure variance. That's it.
Thank you. It was a very helpful presentation to see them together in one. And you even managed to work in photos that show the posters on the building. So
yeah, and I also I also included, just for your sake, which I didn't show, pictures of the courtyard. You can see it's a very large space, and even though the walkways for the above units do extend out over our units, they are all open rails, and even the stairs on either end, the exit stairs, are open rails that provide additional natural light coming in.
And there are two separate properties, same owner. Is there an access easement, because the driveway does straddle the properties? Is there?
You know, I didn't see anything in looking at the recorded documents. I didn't do a detailed search of it, but I've seen three of these across the city, and they're very unique. And sometimes they are owned by separate owners, but they share, they're required to sort of share this driveway access. And so, yeah.
Interesting, because if it is sold, you would expect there to be some easement so that the driveway is.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I mean, I'll see if there's any public comment first. Is there any public comment on items number 7 and or 8 for 3180 and 3190 San Bruno? Seeing no public comment, I'm generally supportive of the application. I think it is an enjoyable exposure, something that the units will benefit from. The only concerns that I have relate to kind of the distinction and separation of the driveway and parking areas to the rear courtyard, which will be enjoyed by the tenants. And so I would like to see you work with staff to better distinguish the two to ensure that, you know, cars aren't pulling
all the way through. Yeah. Ella and I talked about this, I think, yesterday. We had some communication back and forth. We're happy to install some planting strips and some things to kind of differentiate and create a barrier for vehicles to not access and drive right up to people's, you know, bedroom windows.
And I could see, you know, some little bit, maybe a few feet beyond where the current parking is, so there can be some hammerheading so they can, you know, maneuver and get
right. We'll have a little setback so you can back out and kind of turn, but still separate the private areas of the units.
And probably, you know, given that this will be the entrance to those newly created units, I think some detailing of the driveway, you know, kind of to indicate that it is for pedestrian use as well. It could be through some striping or something along those lines, but to kind of make it a little bit more enjoyable path to the units past the parking spaces. Most people don't enter their units by walking through
the driveway. Yeah. Well, the other thing too is this site is also unique in that the backside of it has access from the street as well. So there is an access from the street up into the rear yard and then down the stairs to the unit. So there's another route that's maybe not through the vehicular way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, they'll take the matter under advisement. Generally supportive of the request, would be inclined to grant with kind of some additional work in relation to the driveway and the units. And
sure, I can work with Ella to get those things in the plans for you.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thanks.
All right. Moving on to the next item, number 9, for case number 2017-000174VAR at 122 Arch Street, seeking a rear yard variance.
Good morning, zoning administrator. Due to the we don't have sufficient information today, documents, can we ask for a continuation for another meeting?
So you're the project sponsor, right?
Yes, I'm the architect for the project.
So why are you requesting a continuance?
We don't have sufficient document to support the case today.
Okay. I'm a little surprised. I wasn't aware of this, of your intent to continue the item. You have an application that you prepared and submitted, so what is inadequate about your submittal?
We don't have the documents, like pictures, like we want to talk to the neighbor a little bit more regarding to these issues.
That is appreciated, and I think that's a better reason for continuance of the item. And how much time do you need to work with neighbors on the project?
Probably another month.
Okay. So let's thank you for the request, and let me talk to the public and any public comment about continuance. This could be continued. We would have space on our August 23rd agenda. Our September hearing is quite impacted, so otherwise it would be to October. So in terms of length of time, would be, yeah. So you can step forward and we'll let the public
Thank
speak
you.
On this item. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, so we're taking turns. So you can speak after this young lady speaks.
All right. So starting public comment, you have 3 minutes.
All right. I don't think I need 3 minutes. I'll be quick. Good morning, Administrator Sanchez. This is Suha Sandoval, Legislative Aide to Supervisor Asha Safai. This parcel sits in District 11 and has been brought to our attention. We've been following it. We are very familiar with this site. We wanted to raise 3 things to you. One, we are currently working on legislation that would capture these types of expansions or variances. Two, the variances being sought for height, rear yard, and setback are out of context for this neighborhood. And lastly, there are also serious concerns that this is not going to operate as a family residence. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, we've had outreach from community members expressing concern and opposition to this. Thank you.
Thank you. You mentioned some possible legislation. Is that something you can discuss further at this point, or is that something we could, is there any timing on that?
It's being drafted. It's already, we have a city attorney that's been assigned. We're setting the parameters, figuring out what square footage threshold and what processes then that would entail as well. Okay. But this would definitely fall under that.
Okay. And just to note, too, this is, there's no height variance. This is just a rear yard variance, but we will.
We have the setback variance, rear yard, and then height, but I'll double check.
Yeah. Okay. There's only one variance here. You can't get variances
for the height.
So it's just a rear yard variance that they're seeking. But
which we oppose because we know it's supposed to be at 15% or, there's different, whichever is the most. Sure. So either way, this would not meet that as well. It would not be up to code.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item?
Hi, I'm Christina, and I
believe.
So if you pull down the microphone a little bit, maybe.
Hold on.
Yeah,
okay.
There we go.
My parents' house, I live with my parents at 126 Arch Street, and I'm here for the house next door, the building. They're planning to build a 3-story house next to our building. They have a building, have an old building living in the back side already, and those have a lot of people living in the back already. And then I suggest the backyard, the yard of the building should leave at least 15 feet before they build a new building over there. My concern is for the people's safety. A lot of people living in the backside, and then in case some emergency, they have access to it, and very important for those people. And also, my parents' house right next door, we just finished remodeling on the side of the house, all cement stucco right there. And also, I want them, if they do build another building right next door and then next to my parents' house, I suggest they leave at least maybe 4 feet or 6 feet in between the house. And then not stick it together, house to house together. So if you do need paperwork that we just finished remodeling. We can take picture and show you the receipt for that. If you do need that.
No, it's okay. I understand from staff that you had done work on the siding of your house and you had concerns about that being damaged by the construction. But I think you did. Do you have any other comments? So you can all have a chance to speak too. Oh, you can all speak separately. That's okay. So yeah, do you have anything else further to add or?
And also when they build a three-story house in that building, in our neighborhood, we don't see any three-story side to build in that neighborhood. I mean, if the city allow them to build a three-story over there, it will blocking the light and the view of the house from our house, and then. It will affect the neighborhood if they can able to build a three-story home. That means we can request to build another story in our house because we don't want them to block our view from the house, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are the concerns for me and everything else, you know.
Okay.
And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other public comment? So, you know, everyone has a chance for 3 minutes public comment if they would like.
Hello, my name is Glenn Rogers, and I'm here to speak regarding the 122 Arch Street. I am writing a statement making my disapproval of the request for numerous variances at the above address. I guess at this point it's only one variance, forgive me. The first request for a variance to build a separate home on the same property. The new residence in the front of the property will be much larger than the existing structure. This is the existing structure that we have here on the screen. Presently, three renters live in the existing structure and park in the area where the new structure will be built. Should this new structure be built, they will now be parking in the street. The owner of the property is requesting a three-story structure which is not found anywhere else on the side of the street. On this side of the street, when the new structure will be next to Sisterhood Gardens, casting shadow on the vegetables grown there. I have a picture.
So here's where the structure would be located here, casting shadow on the Sisterhood
Garden project. The next variance is the request for a backyard of 9'6" instead of the typical backyard of 15 feet. Despite the fact that the house will be higher than all other houses on the same side of the street, the existing home beside the new structure will be cast shadow in the afternoon on the Sisterhood Gardens. But this is the fundamental point is this. The existing house on this property was to be a single family dwelling. However, there are three separate individuals living there today. Therefore, it is safe to assume that this new single family unit will be converted into numerous apartments. Officially, there are five bedrooms, but two of the master bedrooms are so large that they could be divided and made into two additional bedrooms. Then the family rooms are very large and could be potentially two bedrooms each. That would add up to four residences into this, four new places, bedrooms into this new structure. Worst case scenario, there could be up to 11 new residences living there. If any of the residences were married, this number would increase further. The number of new cars that would be on Arch Street would be unthinkable. Again, those existing tenants presently park in the front yard would now be forced to park in Arch Street. With all of this information, we think that this project is unfit for the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any photos of the parking on the front property?
You know I do.
If you could put those.
Right. Okay. I'll give them to you.
Sure.
While he's preparing that photo, I'll go ahead and speak.
Yeah.
So resident at Arch Street 125, I also brought with me some signatures from other neighbors. In our neighborhood, I have 8 signatures from people I was able to capture yesterday during dinner time. So on Arch Street, there are a lot of neighbors who can't be present today who do oppose the project. Their main concerns are parking and the current owner's trend to have the existing single dwelling family home not having a family and having leases for all the residents. So it's, we're concerned because of the trend that this three-story house is going to continue to be more of an apartment complex living, dorm room style, and that is we're a neighborhood that has a lot of families, and we like to avoid avoid setting that precedent for our neighborhood.
Okay, thank you. Other public comment on this item?
Hi, my name is Agneta Hayes. I live close by Arch Street. And 3 years ago, we started this garden, the community garden, with the help of the city and the neighbors. It's grown, and finally we could put vegetables down, saw the vegetables. We're hoping to share this with the community eventually. But with a three-story building and the shadow, it will impact the garden, not only in a growing sense, but also the way it looks today. It's inviting for people to come in because it's open, but with a big three-story building hovering over the park, it will not be that inviting. And the parking issue that my friends here mentioned before, I'm really concerned with. I've seen it. I live not that far from this street. We have several houses that are rented out with several different individuals living in those houses. And the parking is horrible, horrible. And not to mention the activities going on with constant people moving in and out. And like my friends here spoke about earlier, we've been in the garden so much, worked so hard, and we've seen and talked to the people that is in this house in the back of the lot. I think that the city is striving to create a great neighborhood in what was once a very poor and challenged neighborhood. Today we are seeing a difference. We are painting murals, we are doing things. And to see that kind of starting to destroy in this area, that would be very sad. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you start the clock, can I introduce myself and explain why I'm here?
Oh, that's usually part of your time.
Well, okay. I'm Mark Christensen. I am president of a neighborhood association, but I am not here representing the neighborhood association. I am one of the committee members at Sisterhood Gardens, and I'm opposed to granting the variance of the building of the three-story structure. I just met with Bill Guan, and I'm very pleased that he wants to continue and meet with the neighbors. I think this is excellent, so I applaud Bill for that, and we would like to meet with the owner and the neighbors and the people at Sisterhood Gardens. So there's a two-story structure existing house on the property adjacent to Sisterhood Gardens, and you know the variance would have to be from 15 down to 9.6. There's a three-story structure adjacent to the newly formed Sisterhood Gardens. Despite being located to the north, would cast shadows on the garden during the early evening hours. It is to the north, but the sun in the summertime goes to the northwest. So if it were three stories and not set back, then there would be problems. Also, there's another major concern that was addressed. Although the owner claims to be building a single-family home required in the zoning district, there's every indication that this home, once built, could become a multi-unit building configuration because of its planned five bathrooms, including a 16-foot, 24-foot master bedroom, and three family rooms, including one that is 18 feet by 24 feet. This is a concern since the adjacent property has already been subdivided as a total living space in violation of current zoning laws. I want to show you the property and show you where. This is Sisterhood Gardens, and the property would be right here, just to the north. Further concern with some neighbors and residents with those who currently farm at Sisterhood Gardens, it would be out of scale with the neighborhood. And as far as parking goes, this block is not part of a residential parking permit zone, and there is no parking allowed on Brotherhood Way. So parking is very limited on the street. Several years ago, there was a meeting held with neighbors regarding a proposal for the owner to put a two-story structure on the property. After listening to neighbors' concerns, apparently the idea was scratched, and nothing further has come on our radar until this variance hearing. So I would really like to sit down with the owner and with Bill Guan to talk about what would be appropriate for the site. And I'm very glad that this is going to be postponed. So thank you very much. And I made it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would note, I think the proposed project is not immediately adjacent because there is that existing building is on a bit of a key lot, so that it's about 14 feet off of that side property line, just to clarify. Okay.
One of the things was it was very difficult to looking at the plans when I downloaded them. They were very small. I had to use a magnifying glass. I tried to enlarge it, and they didn't enlarge well. So we want to sit with them and discuss it. So I think this is a good move.
Yes, I agree. And okay. One trick for when you do have the PDF plans, like at least on the computer, you can zoom in.
I tried, and it didn't work. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
See, is there any other public comment? We're on item number 9 for 122 Arch Street. Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, I just have a couple of questions for you if you don't have anything further. I do have some questions for you. So do you have any rebuttal? I mean, are you agreeing to a continuance, but do you have anything else to add before I ask my questions?
The neighbor did bring up a couple of times about, you know, the new building going to turn into some kind of housing. Or I think that's fully assumption. My client is planning to live there with her family. And I don't think that any of those assumptions should make this case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so your client owns both this property and the property, the building to the rear?
Yeah. Yes, she owns both the rear building as well. And she, according to her, there's only 6 people living in that house. And that house has how many bedrooms? 5 bedrooms? So
that's a... how many square feet is that house? Because it's pretty small to have.
But it's only 6 people living there. That's all she has. Those are like maybe family together.
Is it how many leases do you have with the tenants of the rear building, if I can ask? Yeah. So if you could step forward and answer those questions, that'd be great.
How many leases?
Hmm?
Is there any
leases? How many leases?
What leases?
Rear building.
People live in there?
Yeah, no, it's okay. So I'm asking the questions. Thank you.
Sorry.
So there's 6 people, and 5 people, 6 people.
5 okay. people. Yeah, 5 people.
Okay.
5 leases.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so we'll.
I think it's reasonable. 5 people living in the house, right? Am I?
Yeah, under the planning code, it would be allowed to have up to 5 unrelated individuals.
Yeah.
So we appreciate your offer to continue it. I agree that time is needed. Especially there may be some pending controls that would have an impact on this. And I'm not certain, you know, given the... a variance could be justified given the substandard size of the lot, but, you know, the space that is being proposed is not being used as efficiently as it could with having, you know, what's a very large family room. There's a living room on the ground floor, family room. Then there's a very large family room on the second story, and then, you know, it is not as efficient as it could be for a building of its size on the lot. So I will also ask our residential design staff to take another look at this and see how it could be sculpted further. May still require a variance, but certainly I think that there are reductions that could be made to the volume to reduce impacts. The concerns about the shadowing, we can get more information on that. I It is to the north?
I fully doubt it, because even a two-story building would create the same kind of shadow.
But I think, you know, you've heard concerns related to that, so it may behoove you to look into a shadow study and analyzing that to, you know, if the facts support it, that doesn't have an impact, then you can present that to those that have raised that concern. So we'll continue it. The August calendar, I don't think, is going to be enough time to get this resolved and worked out. September is impacted, so that would be moving it to our October hearing, which I believe is going to be October 25th. So let's continue this item to the October 25th hearing. I would like you to continue to work with neighbors. I'll also consult with our design staff, see that there could be some appropriate reductions in the size of this. There have also been concerns raised about possible planning code violations at the rear building. So I will ask our enforcement staff to look into that and ensure that property is code compliant before we move ahead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And so with that, we'll continue this item to October 25th, public hearing to remain open, and we can move on to our next item.
All right, moving on to next item, number 10, for case number 2017-004182VAR at 2025 O'Farrell Street, seeking an exposure variance.
Good morning, Larry Paul, architect, representing Will Nilsson, the owner of the building. One of the owners of the building. It's a six-unit building, four stories, and we're proposing to add an accessory dwelling unit with a slightly smaller rear yard exposure. Instead of the required 15 feet by 15 feet, which is 225 square feet, we're providing a almost 10 foot, 9 foot, 8 inch by 30 foot, which is almost 300 square feet. It's a ground level apartment. It has two French doors leading onto it, so it's a nice exposure. And the property behind it is not developed right now, but if it were to be developed, would have a required rear yard, so that exposure will not be compromised in the future. So I think it's a pretty good example of the request for a variance that will increase the housing stock by adding one accessory dwelling unit to the six-unit building.
Thank you. It was my understanding from the history of this, this actually had been an illegal unit at some point in the past in the 90s,
yes.
Then it was converted to the manager's unit.
So yes, yeah. It was legally converted to a manager unit, but then it was used as an illegal unit, and then we took out everything out, and then this accessory dwelling unit became obvious choice.
Okay, thank you. And what's the plan for the trash storage? Is that going to go in the light well? I mean, it's not a very large building, so I wouldn't assume that too many toters would be required. Is it going to be there, or will it be in the rear yard? Have there been?
It won't be in the rear yard. It's not the rear yard right now. Is just a rear yard.
Yeah.
I think right now it's in the light well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's around the side of the building. There's a whole separate area. We have the trash area for the whole building.
So the kind of through the passageway, the meters, and then there's the light
right.
well there.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys very much. Is there any public comment on this item number 10 for 2025 O'Farrell Street? Seeing no public comment, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it does provide adequate exposure through the existing conditions, and also noting the pattern of development on the block and having an adjacent undeveloped lot that, as you said, would have a rear yard at some point in time if it is developed. And we can move on to our last item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number 11, case number 2015-008473VAR. At 531 30th Street with a rear yard variance sought.
Is Turk Murphy a superhero or what? I think that's a great, that's the best name in the city.
That's me. I'm item 12.
Oh, we're not,
yeah,
where we are
one,
now?
There's one more item.
Oh, 11. Oh, well, Then you're the superhero. Okay. Not that you're not a superhero, you're your own right.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, this is Ahmad Lariza, the project sponsor. As you know, this building sits on a rear yard. The owner of the building, husband and wife, this property is a two-bedroom, and the daughter is about 15 and a half, going 16, and it's very complicated to have two bedrooms next to each other, a young lady with the parents is too close to comfort. So therefore, the owner has been in the progress of adding, separate unit for her, or at least a bedroom for her with a closet and, in a bathroom and stuff. So she would be, she doesn't have to share or something and too close to comfort. As you know, the building is sitting in a rear yard, and there's nothing basically we can do to separate this property. And Nancy Tran has been very cooperative to work with us, and they would like to get that bedroom for her. So.
Okay. The Section 311 is underway and expires on August 16th?
Yes, I have two, yes.
And my understanding, there's been some concern from the neighbor to the rear?
The neighbor, we had a meeting with them yesterday, and they're looking for light and ventilation, and of course the view is one of the spectacular view. We were there yesterday, we took a whole bunch of picture, and there was a communication between neighbor, us, owner, and Nancy, and she's well aware of it. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to negotiate what to do as far as cutting and removing the window, but if we cut the roof, I don't think Nancy would like that, but we'll still work with Nancy and see whether if she allow us to cut. And also the neighbor wants to cut the portion of the closet, which the owner of the property is not too happy about it, but we're still working with Nancy, and there's a open communication right now with three of owner, us, and Nancy.
Okay, thank you. I mean, it is an existing legal non-complying structure,
yes.
And so any expansion of it would trigger the variance. We have, all these rules that speak to preserving existing housing. We don't want you to demo this and build a new code-complying building at the front of the lot.
Yes.
And I'm sure neither does your client. But, I would encourage you to continue that discussion and with the neighbors. It is a pretty substantial addition. I mean, it reads as, a very nice master bedroom, kind of adding like a second very large master bedroom to the building. So I think that there could be room for making some reductions to that floor area. I know it's desired for their plan of having additional space for their daughter, but it does have a 263 square foot bedroom, 150 square feet of closet, and then a 50 square foot bath. So there's a lot of space up there. I would encourage you to continue working with the neighbor, and I would be supportive of some tweaks here and there. So I think at this point, I'm seeing there's no public comment, and a call for public comment, but I see there's no public comment for this item. So I'll take it under advisement. Mm. We'll have till the end of the Section 311 notification period. We'd like you to continue working with the neighbor to respond to their concerns and to keep in contact with staff. Expansion is supportable here, but there's striking a balance with kind of the impacts on neighbors, given that it is a non-complying structure. And under the code shouldn't be expanded in any way, but that's why you're seeking the variance. So I think if you could keep that discussion with the neighbor and keep staff informed about how that develops.
Sure, we're working with them.
Okay, all right, well, thank you. I'll close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, generally supportive of a variance for the site, given the existing conditions, but would encourage the sponsor to continue working with neighbor and trying to be responsive to their concerns. Thank you.
All right, so moving on to the last item, number 12, for case number 2016-014272VAR at 18 Turk Murphy Lane for dwelling unit exposure and rear yard modification variances sought.
So to answer the question, Turk Murphy is a famous jazz trombonist.
I think staff did tell me of that. Yes, that an even better name for me.
And by famous, I mean I had to look it up. So, Turk Murphy Lane, formerly Churchill Street, a small alley through North Beach. This is looking down the alleyway. At this portion where I'm standing, it's 10 feet wide, the right of way. Right in front of our lot, it's actually 7 feet. Our property line comes out into the alleyway some. So here's the old Sanborn map. 10 foot right away, we got a little 3 foot bump. So essentially, whatever development happens here is going to need a variance, almost certainly. Code complying rear yard would be 18 feet, give or take. So we've decided to try and manage it by having a slightly larger front setback than is required and to push the allowable massing a little bit towards the rear yard. So we have, in effect, proposed a 15-foot minimum rear yard and then a larger front setback so that we're balancing the exposure at the front and the back of the building. So here's the proposed ground floor with the 15-foot rear yard. We are actually proposing at one point a 13-foot front setback. So with the 7-foot alley, that actually comes at a 20-foot front exposure in the front. The project overall, 6 dwelling units. 2 are 1-bedroom, 2 are 2-bedroom, and 2 are 3-bedroom. Our 312 expired Monday and no DRs were filed. Don't see any public comment. So we're just proposing to kind of balance out the needs of, you know, wanting to try and build and also to have the exposure as required.
Thank you. The lot seems to meet the definition of exceptional extraordinary circumstances, and you're not even maximizing the buildable area because you could go to the front property line, but you're suiting to
we could do a little bit because of there's a alley height setback above 15 feet, so the ground floor could come forward a little bit, which we're not doing.
Thank you. I see that there's no one here for public comment, so I see no public comment. We close the public hearing, client to grant the requested variance, noting the lot size configuration as well as its location on a very narrow alley.
Thank you.
That project. We have general public comment if there is any. I see no general public comment. We will close this public hearing and we will reconvene for the next hearing on August 23rd. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Gino.